Welcome to the Quarantine Book Club, a comedy and book club podcast where we read some of the best
and worst
speculative fiction out there.
I'm Bob, a career theater technician and educator.
And I'm Rance, an English writing and literature teacher.
We might not know everything about these books,
but we'll damn well try.
And we're happy you can join us this week.
Make sure to visit us at www.thequarantinebookclub.com.
And check us out wherever you listen to great podcasts.
And that was 1, 2, 3, as in go on three, not 1, 2, 3, go.
I went. You said 1, 2, 3, 4, and I went on 4.
There was no 4. I never said 4.
I absolutely heard a 4 in there.
You're a liar. Don't lie to our audience like that.
I heard 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, hexagon.
You heard
square.
1, 2, hit it with a mining pick.
Let's please drink some beer right now, in honor. In honor of our souls, in honor of anyone who's listening out there in podcast land, anyone who chooses to read the book that we read this week, I'm just putting a hard 12 ounces down my throat just for you. Right now, because
you're putting a hard 12 ounces down your throat.
Hard 12 ounces down my throat right now. I'm gonna need to be drunk. You're gonna need to be drunk. Because let me tell you what. It's March, the last day of March. It's the last day of our Lit RPG two book feature.
If you're listening to this podcast, since we don't have the rights to it, go ahead and please just pause this, play the song "Celebrate Good Times," and listen
for
to that.
Crying out loud, I'm so glad March is done, because I never want to do this to ourselves again. Because I think we decided, and I'm sorry, I need to apologize to you. We crammed one, I guess, okay book into a month right next to a what is this garbage book. And that was the one we just read. And I'm going to go hard tonight because I fucking hated this book or what I read of it.
Man, so you keep doing this to me because I keep going through and suffering through these entire books.
I'm starting to get to the point. I'm really starting to get to the point where I have to measure my appreciation of myself. And I have to go, you know what? If you can't drop hot goodness on me in the first 5.5 hours of the audiobook, I gotta just dump you.
Yeah.
I'm gonna skip through. I'm gonna hear a few things to see if there's anything I miss. I'm gonna read some of the excerpts. But no, I couldn't, man. I could not finish this book. I'm Rance.
I'm Bob.
And this is the Quarantine Book Club.
And I did finish this book.
Why would you do that to yourself, man?
Because I'm
dedicated. Because we need podcast material.
Because I'm dedicated to our podcast, bro.
Yeah, well, I'm not. I am, you know.
Sorry, I interrupted you. You were going to say this week.
No, this week we read by Vasily Mahanyenko. We read Survival Quest, Way of the Shaman, Book 1.
More like Boring Quest.
More like him. If you're more like put yourself in a baby's crib and you're going to fall asleep, you might as well fall asleep to this book baby book one.
No, I don't even know what you're saying, man. This book fried your brain that bad?
I just didn't like it.
Dude, other than this,
I have a lot of reasons why. But I made a realization with myself before we go and talk anything about this book or even talk about our week. I made a realization with myself, which is that I just don't like lit RPG.
No, Lit RPG is hot turd. I challenge someone to bring me some Lit RPG that's not a piece of garbage. And you know what I'll say to them? No, thanks. I don't want to read anymore. I don't care because you're wrong.
100% wrong. Die on this hill. I will die on this hill.
I don't need
Lit RPG. I know. It's all the same thing. Please challenge us and yourself and the world to find Lit RPG that's unique, because I might as well play a fucking game. I might as well be playing World of Warcraft,
No, because World of Warcraft is interesting and fun at times. This book was grinding the book. and there's a time and a place for grinding. It's just either in the club or in a game that you're playing.
In the club. Wait, so are you saying that if this was called Grinding Quest, that it would be a totally different book?
It would be a truthful book.
But it would had totally different contents to it, right?
Oh, I mean, if you're talking about in the club. No, it wouldn't. You know why? Because that's all our main character, Mayan, wants to do. Is grinding.
Oh, I forgot that his name was Mayan. Because that's his character's name. Mm-hmm. Well, we'll get into this thing in a second. Can we just talk about a week's, please? Because I'm going to hate the next hour of my life talking about this book. I have some selections I want to share. I want to talk a little bit about the audiobook version that we listened to. And I want to talk a little more about this title of Father of Lit RPG, which might as well be. I have taken the biggest shit. Like, it's, you might as well give yourself a little medal for a thing no one gives a fuck about.
You mean like when we did a 5K and together?
Hey, we did do a 5K together.
We did a 5K together.
Oh, I gave a fuck about that.
I did, but we both got a medal that nobody gives a fuck about.
More people in the world gave a fuck about our 5K that they didn't know we did more than any person in America cares about Vasily Mahanyenko's survival quest Way of the Shaman book one.
Is that what it is, Way of the Shaman?
Yeah.
No, I don't fucking know. Whatever. It's stupid. Also, my fiance hasn't given me my medal yet.
You might need to hold yourself hostage.
Yeah, I know.
You should walk up there naked with a knife to your butt crack, because she might expect it to the penis.
Yeah, but what, I'm going to stick a knife up my butt?
Like, no, just in the crack.
So I'm just holding, like, you credit. So I'm just holding a knife in my butt crack, yeah, is what you're saying.
Yeah, and it's like you credit card it.
Yeah, but...
But you gotta use a dull knife. Like, you use a kitchen knife or something like that.
What about with, like, the flat end out, anyway, like the pointy end out, so anyway, so it doesn't even matter. I'm just holding it there. Maybe, like, sit down on something and cut it. Cut a thing.
Well, but you don't want to hurt anything in the process. You know, like, we have to embrace nonviolence.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I think maybe, like, a knife made out of paper, a little paper knife. Maybe just some toilet paper.
Plastic knife?
That sounds good. Plastic. Like when you get it when you get it at a barbecue,
or at the grocery store,
you could buy them. You could buy hella cheap, 99 cents. It's like they come in that orange box. What's it? Not hella cheap. What's it called? Cha-ching. It's like the super cheap stuff that they sell. We got to at my that's and whatever. Nobody cares. What a shitty story. I'm done.
I'm bored. I'm almost as bored as I was reading Vasily Mahanyenko's survival guy.
Do you think it's really just a quest about our survival through the book?
No, because the only thing it would have done was, I don't know, maybe make me fall asleep at the wheel.
Did we survive this book?
I did. I made it through in one piece. You, however, yeah, wearing, it seems like I'm, you turned into
I'm
a big
wearing
old
a tank
quitter.
Top. I'm wearing a tank top and my wife's pants tonight. I don't know if it did a very good job surviving based on this book.
You're wearing your wife's pants.
Yeah, absolutely.
Are they comfy? Are they super? No,
they're
100%
comfy.
That's exactly.
I tried to walk you into. No, they're absolutely comfy. They're like they're like yoga pants, sort of. Mm-hmm.
I've tried to put on, I have a pair of sweatpants that our mother gave me for, I don't know, I guess Christmas. Like, she's starting to do the weird dad thing. She'll never listen to this. She's starting to do the weird dad thing where she just finds random shit and then decides that it's a present. She's like, oh, I guess I bought this for somebody as a present. So I'll just
It's yours now.
I'll give it to whoever. So at least it wasn't like a half shot box of ammo or something.
No, that's what I got.
Yeah. But so I got these black sweats and I was like, these are okay. They're great. I don't necessarily need them. But one night I was like, you know what? I'm going to put on these comfy sweats that my mom got me. I'm really feeling
some sweatpants. These comfy mom sweats.
Yeah. No, they were definitely comfy mom sweats that didn't fit me and had no room for man parts in them.
You've got really small man parts.
I've got large enough man parts that, like,
disappointingly small man parts.
You know what? Don't use that joke. Okay. That's a dead joke from people that we don't talk about.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
From bad people.
I'm sorry.
Who do bad things. Send cops to our mom's house.
Who? Wait, I'm lost. I actually am absolutely 100% lost.
You made a joke about my pointy penis?
No, I just said disappointingly small.
Oh, sorry. I'm having audio cutouts, so it sounded like you said pointy.
Oh, no. All of a sudden, people are like, who sent cops to your mom's house?
Yeah, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it.
It was a long story. Everything is fine.
Some of you who listen probably already know anyway, and you know what?
Inside baseball.
I like to play inside
hockey. And if you steal my treadmill,
then you probably started your own theater in Elkton, and you're a piece of shit, and your name is Lee Lewis. Fuck you. You're a horrible person, and I'm calling you out now, and I hope nothing good ever happens to you because you're a toxic individual, and if you hear it, great. Fuck you, man.
Ooh, man. Damn, you went hard. Everybody out there is going to be like, who's this guy?
Look up Lee Lewis. Up fucking Lee Lewis, and you know what? Send him a message that said, Bob from the Quarantine Book Club says you're a fucking cheat and a piece of shit, and you stole money at your old job.
You also took a treadmill. You wanted my treadmill. You said you were going to pay me $200 for the treadmill. You took the treadmill. You didn't pay me $200 for it. Where's my $200 million, Lee Lewis? I'm dying over here.
I know, right, man?
Oh, God. Fuck.
I told you he's a piece of shit.
Anyway.
This is no longer a podcast about reading this book, shitty book. This is a podcast about calling out people that we don't like in real life.
People we don't know and that you don't know.
No, I know him. Half the city of Elkton knows him.
No, but I'm saying you, as in like the world out there, doesn't know him.
No, the world doesn't know him because he is a nothing and a nobody. You're a nobody, Lee Lewis. Nothing. That time you cut your thumb off, I use that picture as a personal meme, and I send it to people of you giving a thumbs up.
Is this week four of Sean Watch?
I think it might be week four of Sean Watch.
Week four of Sean Watch. Sean, I'm going to need you to send me a text message that says who we bitched about in the past 4 minutes of our podcast, please. Nice. Thank you.
Nice.
So how was your week, man?
I was fine. Whatever. I'm still fucking looking for a house. It's stupid and it sucks.
That's not a fun process whatsoever. There's no one in their life that went,
can't wait to look for a new house.
Yeah. No, I don't. It's... I'm getting a text from my realtor right now.
Tell her, say it is 8:27 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
I'm in the middle of recording a podcast.
It's a very important podcast.
Yeah, about important books.
Go read Survival Quest by Vasily Mahanyanko.
Yeah, it'll get you off of my back for like 15 days. And that's just straight reading.
And that's just all what happens in the Pryke mine.
This book could have been done in about 2 hours, what took them 11 hours. Sorry, how was your week, man?
I guess it was fine. I am officially on spring break from my job, which is phenomenal. I've got a week and a half off. I plan to do a lot of relaxation for myself. I'm going to be doing a lot of running, Nice. You and I ran a 5K a week and a half ago. First 5K you and I have run, well, together. It was socially distanced, obviously, just us. We had a great time. We were both very successful. High fives.
High five.
I also think there may be a part fairly soon, my friend, where we can record the Quarantine Book Club once more in person. And why is that?
Because I got my first vax shot.
Bam, 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 bam.
So you're fully vaxxed, right?
I've been fully vaxxed for a while. I'm a fully vaxxed boy.
Nice. And I will be a fully vaxxed boy in two more weeks. So we'll be good
to go.
What
do we do with the name? What do we do with the name of the podcast? We're still the Quarantine Book Club. We'll be way until after.
Till the end of time.
Okay.
Unless we want to call it the COVID Book Club, which seems like in really bad taste.
Ew, 100%. 100% bad taste. It was a good week. I have started. I am nearly finished some necessary rewrites on the book that I have been writing. And I decided to give myself a challenge. I am going to be writing a book this month.
Writing a whole book in 1 month.
Writing a whole book in 1 month.
This guy writing this a whole book in one month. Challenge. Whoa, it's a really ridiculous, crazy challenge. This guy, you don't know what he's gonna do next.
It's not really
maybe
so bad.
It'll be write a book in a month. Sorry,
it's not really so bad though. Like it's a National Novel Writing Month deal, and you just have to get to 50,000 words. But I'm gonna do it. I haven't actually like challenged myself to sit down. Had a whole bunch of stories coming to my head the other day, like clink, and you know what? I'm gonna do it. So that's what I got planned. I'm gonna start
in the existing world.
No, not at all. It's a totally different series. Totally different series.
Cool, man.
Cool. So maybe there'll be a point at which we talk about that later. But nobody gives a fuck about that. Let's talk about Survival Quest.
Before we get into Survival Quest,
Way of the Shaman.
Yes.
Can we do a thing that's really, really close? We're gonna do a three count. We need to stop for a minute. I'm having a little bit of an audio issue.
Okay, we're gonna do a 3, 2, 1 stop. Okay, we're back. The Quarantine Book Club here with Bob and Rance talking about all the various things we did this week that nobody gives a shit about. So we're going straight into Survival Quest by Vasily Mahnyenko, subtitled Where the Shaman.
Hey, man.
Hey, buddy.
Thanks.
Hey, well, we've had some technical difficulties, but here in the Quarantine Book Club, we don't do any editing.
No, man.
I guess that's it. Good podcasts do that. I don't do that.
Well,
we don't do that.
Also,
I definitely don't do it. It's all you.
I'm about being real.
Yeah, let's be real about it.
This is real.
Mistakes happen.
Mistakes have been made.
Like me.
Did you say not by me?
No, like me.
Mom, you're a son's a mistake.
Well, I was. I wasn't expecting.
You're an accident, not a mistake.
I was an accident. Same difference.
Were you a post tubes tied baby?
No, not at all. I was just an oops.
Oh, you were a dad didn't mean pull to try. Out fast enough,
yes,
baby?
Yes, okay. Yes. We were a dad was 52 mm-hmm. baby. And we were a dad shot me out and mommy was the catcher.
talking about people wanting to shoot and wanting somebody to catch. Let's talk about the main character in our book this week.
Oh, fuck.
Man.
Mayan,
who just, that's how they pronounce his name in the audiobook. Yeah. I don't know. It's not fun or great.
Well, okay, so let's talk about the world a little bit and what's going on in the world and why mayonnaise is put into the situation that he is in.
Hey, man, we're in the near future yet again. The slightly not so distant future.
Can you take a guess for me, maybe out in the world of podcast land or even you, Bob, exactly what kind of world this is that they live in?
Is it a dystopian future?
It might be.
A dystopian future. Cyberpunk future?
Where things aren't nearly as pleasant on the outside. So, of course, instead of going to the oasis or the land, we go to the exciting world of Barleona. Barleona, which all I can think of in my head, this world's called Barleona, and all I can think is that it's bar space Leona.
Yeah.
Like it's like the bar Leona.
Yeah, it's like sometimes I want to go to Bar Fuego or, yeah, you know,
yeah,
Bar Caliente.
Why do you think they would have a Bar Leona? Those what are, do you think they would?
Words for like hot, by the way.
I'm proud of you.
Thanks.
What would you presume they'd serve at Bar Leona if you went there? If you wandered into a bar,
Manhattans. It's all fucking Manhattans, bro.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it a clean place or is it? Is
yeah,
it
no, it's
a dirty
definitely
place?
A clean place. Like it's an upscale place.
Oh, okay, okay. Yeah, better than me. I was thinking Bar Leona was like a shithole in the wall.
Is like, Leona you, like the owner and she's got a cigarette voice and it's like Bar Leona. Kind of like how Daddy's was back
yes,
in the day.
She's yeah.
You're gonna walk out and catch Leona smoking fucking crack out in the back alley. I like that better. That makes more sense with what the book is.
Yeah, I always imagine it's like you go in there and ask what kind of wines they have and they say red or white. That's it.
They say, which box do you choose?
When we only got one. So, and like they sell, like they give you pretzels, but instead of giving you like beer pretzels, they've just taken sourdough pretzels and crushed them up into tiny pieces with their bare hands.
They hand you the bucket, like the barrel, the clear barrel from Utz, and yeah, it's you just reach your fucking hand in, or the guy behind the bar reaches his hand in that barrel and just pulls yeah, one out for you.
They, oh,
they definitely have pickled pig's feet and
100%
the hot sausages.
Oh yeah, the hot sausages in like a plastic barrel in the back.
Yep.
Because that's the only food they can serve because it's prepackaged, because their fryer in the back has got a dead rat in it. They can't serve anything there. And
welcome
then there's
to
the
Bar Leona.
Hey, you want to, it's Saturday night, you want to hit at the Bar Leona special? Can you ask me what the Bar Leona special is, buddy?
Hey, man, what's the Bar Leona special?
Well, that is where you have to put your mouth underneath the runner here, underneath like the, you know, the drink runner. Uh-huh. And you just have to chug all the spit and lemon seeds and whatever alcohol is here. But you get like $100. So like it's been there all day. Yeah, so that's the Bar Leona special on a Saturday night, baby. That's a Saturday night special.
I just thought the Bar Leona special was a roofie that you could put in any attractive lady's drink, because here at Bar Leona, we want you to know that it's all about getting dates with girls.
Let me tell you, let's talk about the crux of this dystopian
I'm
world.
I'm sorry, I keep going back to this single
no,
part.
No, it's fine.
Because I can't get over it.
The whole... I mean, in a minute, I want to read a selection from this book. I want to read a selection from the sample that is available online, because I will say that this book had me for about 43 seconds of the audiobook. It had me mm-hmm. about 43 seconds.
Yeah.
And then we find out why the protagonist is put into the situation he is. Then it's all fucking downhill.
No, I fucking hate him from that moment on.
It is the most unaware 2015 shit you can possibly imagine. And you know what? Even for 2015, it was dumb and juvenile.
I mean, do you think that some of it is because we're dealing with a book that was written by a Russian and it's translated? Because it is translated.
It is. I will say it feels like the translation. Now, I was looking a little bit of the information about the book itself. And it was distributed by... Magic Dome Books in 2017, translated by Natalia Nikitin in 2015. So it was, I believe, put through, this is the second edition, I believe it was put through a pretty substantial English translation. This isn't just like a bullshit translation. It's a pretty, I would mm-hmm. say it's actually a pretty good translation. Like it sounded smooth.
It doesn't, doesn't sound like it doesn't come from... an English speaker.
It's immensely wordy, mm-hmm. but and I think that's actually one of the true biggest weaknesses of the book is that it desperately needed editing. You had mentioned earlier, but even just looking at it is thick paragraphs upon thick paragraphs. There are very few times there's any kind of like bullet quick machine gun dialogue in it. Mm-hmm. But even then, I would say that if you didn't tell me it wasn't translated, I wouldn't know.
Yeah.
Wait, if you didn't tell me it was translated, I wouldn't know. And that is an up to the very few compliments that we're going to give Vasily Mahanyenko, but I think that's more on the publishing company on Magic Dome that is, you know, that's been putting this out. Is that the translation is pretty solid, mm-hmm. very clear. I had no problem understanding what was happening whatsoever. It wasn't a clumsy translation, and it was given a lot of care.
I also want to give credit to the narrator of the audiobook, because I think he did a great job reading. He especially did a great job reading in a manner that allowed me to hit the times 1.1 times 1.2 times 1.3 all the way up to times 2.0 button, and still at times not feel like I was playing it too fast, which meant that this horrible, horrible hunk of trash was over quicker than the 11 hours allotted in the audiobook. And I don't fast forward audiobooks, but I did this one, and my comfortable area was about 1.5, but I amused myself playing my own metagame, which was to see at times how fast I could start to listen to it before it got to be uncomfortable to listen to and didn't sound natural anymore.
There was the podcast, I'm sorry, the audiobook narrator. I wish I could remember his name. I should have looked it up before now, and I apologize that I didn't. He did do a phenomenal job. It's one of the, I think the second compliment that I'm willing to give the book. It's funny that all of the compliments we give it are not actually around the writing itself. It's in some other production format. He did a phenomenal job as an audiobook reader. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed his voice. I found it calming, maybe sometimes a little robotic, but again, I was listening to it on like 1.5 as well.
Yeah.
but he did a great job. So production all around, great. It's just the contents of the book itself. And I'll give Mahanyenko, I think his first five or six paragraphs are pretty on point until we find out that our protagonist, all he wants to do is fuck girls. Like,
yeah.
It's not even his penis, but his desire to have sex with girls that gets him into or onto his survival quest as a prisoner in the world of Barleona.
There's some interesting things conceptually happening in the idea of sending these prisoners to this world. I don't know if it's supposed to be a statement about men. And maybe that's the thing. Maybe there's a deep-seated statement about men, but I don't think there is, because I don't think that the book is intelligent enough to do that. In the fact that other than this female character who basically tricks our main character and gets him put in jail, in future cyber jail, there is no other female character in the entire book. And every character that he comes across, which is in a virtual world, is assumed to be male. You can't make a total judgment because they're virtual characters of people. Right. So perhaps, but their avatars
are male. Yeah. I mean, at least for it, we didn't pull a really shitty Ready Player One, where one of the twists is, my best friend H. Yeah, he's a real cool guy. Also, he's a girl. Like, yeah. That didn't age well at all either.
No.
I'd like to read, to give the world a sense of exactly what they're going to get, I'd like to read the first few paragraphs of Survival Quest Way of the Shaman.
Yeah, give it to me, man. I want to okay. I want to hear this hot dramatic reading.
This is from chapter one.
Rants of the Quarantine Book Club. Enjoy.
The QBC.
Don't come at me with copyright, bro.
They won't. It's you can get it
fair,
online.
Fair use.
Nobody cares about this book anyway.
No.
Chapter one, introduction. To find the defendant, Daniel Mahan, guilty of hacking the control program of the city sewage network, resulting in total system shutdown, and sentence him to confinement in a correctional capsule and resource-gathering labor for the term of 8 years under Article 637, Section 13 of the Penal Code. The place of confinement will be automatically appointed for the defendant by the system. Should the prisoner meet the conditions stipulated in Article 78, Section 24 of the Penal Code, he'll be given the opportunity to transfer to the main game world. The court appoints the defendant the following specifications: race, human, class, shaman, main profession, jeweler. The sensory filters are to be turned off for the entire term spent in the capsule. Parole is possible if the defendant pays an amount totaling 100 million gold in gaming coins. The sentence is final and cannot be appealed. They say that God is truth. I don't know, really. Maybe that's how it is. It's not something I ever checked, and I'm not going to argue. But all arguments are evil, and a great evil at that, and that's a truth against which there is no argument. Play on words, if you like. Let me introduce yourself. I am Daniel Mann, and it is always, as it has already been mentioned, I am a 30-year-old specialist in IT security and everything that involves. I'm a freelancer, periodically hired by corporations for finding exploits in the virtual game of Barleona. This game has filled the whole world with itself and has become the entire world for some. I can't say that I'm the best security specialist, but I'm in no way the worst either. Something between a genius and totally useless. Fair to middling. Not a bad start, right? It's not the best, but it's not the worst. How are you feeling up to this point, Bob? Like, you're listening to this. How do you feel about the book so far up to this point? How has he done building the world as you know it?
I mean, it's fine. He's coming in with this decent cold open where you're thrown right into the crux of what's going on to the character. You're not, you know, given any background yet because you know that's going to come shortly. You're just like, here's the situation. My parents went away on a week's vacation, and they left the keys to the brand new Porsche. But anyway, that being said, I think that it's funny that you say that and hearing this again and going back to it just in the plot of the game, because when Mayan says, I'm basically a hacker who finds exploits in the game of Barleona, and then his prison sentence is based around the fact that he's going to be in Barleona. What does everybody think he's going to do?
Of course he's going to try to manipulate the system,
yeah,
right?
Which big fucking spoiler alert, he does, and in 3 months is out into, like, is able to get in, less than 3 months, is able to get into the main game world from an 8-year prison sentence.
Well, didn't you know he's a smart guy?
No, he's somewhere the smartest between a genius or an idiot.
You give him one paragraph before he turns into a total penis, because now he explains that all of the those people searching for exploits have to go through retraining, and then we learn about who he meets, and he meets a woman named Marina, and he says, at one such retraining session, I ended up sharing a table with a fairly attractive girl and striking up a conversation with her. Unfortunately, she was, of course, also a freelance artist, as all those engaged in finding exploits in the game called themselves, whether they actually worked anywhere or not. I was at all set to start throwing around clever and obscure terminology, expecting the girl, stunned by the brilliance of my mind, to fall into my arms.
Huh. Girls are dumb, and if they think that you're smart, they'll be into you.
Just throw around some jargon. They're gonna start slipping and sliding, baby.
Don't worry. You know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna tell you about how I work on computers, and you're gonna get wet.
Never tell a girl, especially a smart girl, that her place of employment is not worthy of having a freelance artist working there. We started to argue, and then struggling to come up with anything better, I threw in my killer argument of why you shouldn't work in a sewage system, because apparently she works for the sewage company, which seemed a sure way to win to me. It stinks there! So cool, this man. This guy makes... First page makes a broad assumption that every girl that's there is not good enough, that there's a chance she's a smart girl. And then he thinks that he's going to throw around enough jargon. It's not even tongue in cheek that he says, expecting the girl stunned by the brilliance of my mind to fall into my arms. This is precisely what Daniel expects to happen.
Dude thinks that he's going to well actually himself way into her pants.
From this point, I got to there. And I was like, I'm doing good. Okay, this ain't bad. And the minute I got here, I was like, I'm going to fucking hate this guy.
Man, how much beard do you think is on Daniel's neck?
Oh, so much. Probably 6 to 7 pounds. This doesn't stop. He continues going on talking about how good she looks. We find out that Marina is she challenges him, says, you know what? I bet I'm so good at my job that you couldn't hack the sewer system. So what does this dumb shit do?
He sets up a sweet, sweet hacking heist. Because he wants to get laid by sliding into the sewer system.
And he gets caught. It's like instantaneously. He basically blows up the sewer system with computers. And then he gets sent to Barleona. But the bet is that if he hacks it, she'll go on a date with him.
She'll not just go on a date with him. She'll be his girlfriend for a month. And everything that entails. That's the exact phrase.
In fact, let me see if I can find exactly where that's at.
Which, if you don't understand that this game is rigged, dude, you are definitely not a genius and should not be hacking computers because you don't know how the real fucking world works, man.
Also, what is the phrase and all that entails?
It means he gets to do it with her whenever he wants, because that's what being a girlfriend means in his mind, that you just get to, whenever I want to do it with you, you just got to pull those pants down. We're going at it, because that's what girlfriends do, bro.
Absolutely disgusting.
I know.
There is no, from the get-go, no. This is like Revenge of the Nerds level creepy to me.
Dear anyone who writes lit RPG, I'm gonna need you to know right now that your creepy, misogynistic bullshit is over the top, across the line, and I'm fucking done with you. And if
Bob's fucking done with it,
that you're gonna write books about women being subservient to men, and men just well actually-ing all over the place until women get all hot and bothered. Let me give you a little bit of a hint. Get fucked.
In the world of Barleona, the only women that exist are the ones that are ready to put themselves on the table and take their pants off for a bet about my computer abilities. If you want to get into my pants with me, my name's Daniel Mayen, and let me tell you something right now. I'm a hacker, baby. I'm going to hack your pants off 1 month with me. 1 month, and you're going to be doing it sideways. You're going to be doing it digitally. We're basically going to do every kind of the sex you can imagine because this guy is the fucking worst person,
dude. And lit RPG is the language of love, okay?
It is the absolute most every bit that I have read in my immensely undereducated approach to lit RPG. The three things, I'm going to say two books that I've sort of read, and then the one book I read all the way, which I don't even think is considered lit RPG, is Ready Player One, which we've talked about. All of these books, the protagonists are these. They have the highest vision of themselves as men. They are terribly underversed in what it means to communicate respectfully with the opposite sex or anybody who is not male. And they presume that everyone in the world is just a fucking sex object for them.
It's insufferable. It should be. Honestly, this that premise alone
It's literally
should get this book just thrown in the trash.
It's literally the bet's going to be that you're going to be anytime you put a time span on it, you get to be my girlfriend for 1 month.
That, like, hey, bro, that means she's not your girlfriend. It means that she can't even stand to be in the same room with you for a minute. So by putting a month on that bet, like, if there's got to be a time frame on it, it means that she's not into you, dude. She's not just not into you. She's fucking repulsed by you. She's so repulsed by you that she set you up so that you would go the fuck to jail. Now, I know that, like, this is the plot of the story, and, like, this is exactly what, like, Vasily Mahonyenko is writing about. But also, just give me a main character that I don't fucking hate. Because they're scum.
The last time that I saw a plot similar to this done well was in one of the final seasons of the sitcom Frasier.
Wow, well, we know how much you love your fucking scrambled eggs.
When Niles, who falls in love with his true love Daphne, he breaks up with his wife at the altar, right? You know, breaks up with the woman he's about to marry at the altar. Pretty shitty. And he is then blackmailed into being her husband for, like, a series of weeks because she's like, you know what? You fucked me over, and our marriage was also sort of, like, very publicly visible. You're not fucking me over like that, so I'm gonna blackmail you and keep you as my husband until we can call it off at an appropriate time when I choose to do so. It's sort of pretty dark. Yeah. But also it works in the context of the show. Here, not so much, because all this dude wants to do is just try.
Hot girl. Hi, girl, and pants. I'm gonna get in those pants.
That's it. Mm-hmm. That's it. This is, and the book. Then he gets to Barleona. He's given a new character. He is a shaman, and it's just
and
put
he's
all.
Like,
of,
oh, yo, shamans fucking suck, bro.
Shamans are garbage.
Shamans are garbage. You know what else is garbage? Jewelcraft. Jewelcraft's fucking bullshit.
He is sent to work in the mines as his penance. We're going into this book 2.5 hours in. He's just gotten to the mines. All of the rest of the book has been exposition about how the game world works. And guess what? If you've played one video game in your fucking life, you know how these game worlds work. There's nothing special or new about it.
Yeah, I don't know why we need to keep explaining how these worlds work. You know what a fucking fantasy RPG is. You know what an MMO is. Oh, guess what? I'm in a full-body haptic pod, because that's what we do in all of these fucking things. Whatever, you know? And he even references The Matrix repeatedly because he doesn't even want to take the time to create his own way of, like, putting people into this world. So he really pretty much just makes a man created Matrix pod. Also, of like, I don't need you to tell me how the game works unless you're going to create something new. A little thing is fine, but it's not just that he spends 2 hours telling you how the game works. He spends 11 hours telling you how the game works.
It's so much. Here we go. He's talking about mining ore. This is directly from the book. What fantastic stats. My virtual heart began to ache when I compared this shaman with my level 87 hunter. He looked so wretched next to my former character. Sigh. Energy. The biggest headache for all the prisoners. In the main game world, even if energy fell all the way to zero, the character simply suddenly stopped and rested for several minutes waiting for it to recover, and then continued to carry out the player's commands. But they say that here things are not so simple. As energy is lost, you get tired for real, and your hit points slowly diminish. A sudden fall in energy could even lead to character death. I would have to test this parameter in more detail, since I paid little attention to it with my hunter. Stamina. It determines the number of hit points in the ratio of 1 to 10. The higher the stamina, the slower the rate.
Oh, my God. Can we stop? Can we please fucking stop? Do we all know what stamina does? Do we all know what endurance does? Do we all know what energy is? Do we know what strength does? Do we know what dexterity does? Yes, we know what all of these things do. So let's stop telling us how every little one affects every fucking stat and just go, strength, hey, man, you know what? You probably know it's about how strong you are. Let's move on.
If you are writing a lit RPG, I don't need to ever fucking know about it. My presumption should be lit RPG is such a niche interest level anyway for these books. I presume the people reading them know this shit.
Yeah. Why else would you just fucking read it? Let me tell you, my fucking dead dad isn't going to pick up a lit RPG book.
And guess what? He's going to know what fucking agility is because he was a soldier, man.
Yeah. Conceptually, it's so dumb, and you know what it is? It's a fucking person proving how much smarter they are because Vasily Mahanyenko is just David Mann.
He learns in the Pryke mine how he's going to try to get out. He learns all about drinking water as a tool to bring his hit points back. We are down now to...
Also, in all of this learning, you're a fucking level 86 hunter before. Also, your job was to find exploits in Barleona.
And he doesn't know how it works.
And he doesn't know how the fucking game works. Oh, this when they move you to the prison, everything changes?
This is directly the problem, I think, with something like this, is that this book doesn't fit that same entry level into the world that we see with other lit RPG books or any books that take place on another world where we have to have a character who is experiencing that world and the wonder of it for the first time so that we can do so. He's sort of experiencing this stuff for the first time, but he's also previously aware of it. So it doesn't make sense why he has to explain all of this. And also, it doesn't make sense why he doesn't know about it. I played World of Warcraft casually. And you know what I knew? I knew that intellect wasn't important when I played my rogue. But I knew what it did, which it raised my mana up. So if I was a mage, I could cast spells. I knew what intellect did. It wasn't like I just floated through the game and went, I'm just not going to care what the stat is because I still get exposed to it.
You have to know because you need to, if you're going to be in any sort of raid group, which is your end goal in all of these games, you have to know how other players work so that you can work in concert with them so that you can do your job properly. Why? Because it's like any other fucking profession on the planet that if you're going to work with another person who does a thing that is closely entwined with yours, you're going to understand how their job works so that you can work in concert with them. It's not a hard concept.
That's the way we work with it when it comes to parties. It's supposed to be a team kind. These are team games.
This is a guy who doesn't understand. It's clear now that I'm thinking about it.
He played a fucking hunter. His character was a fucking hunter originally, which that right there, if we're going to compare this to World of Warcraft, people play fucking hunters. They got their head shoved so far up their own ass. Wait.
My ex-wife was a hunter.
Oh, shit.
it's the type of thought that makes you a bad lover. Let's put it that way, because you go, I don't know how vaginas work. I've been with them and I have sex with women, but I don't know how vaginas work. What is that? What is a clitoris?
What is it? He meets his friend. Who is his friend Cart.
Cart.
Just Cart. Just call me Cart.
Cart, who was voiced, I will say voiced just like, Shaggy from Scooby-Doo, basically.
Just call me Cart. A bit of a chore to say this tongue twister every time, so Cart'll do. I've gotten used to it now. After all, it's my 11th year here, and I still have four more to go. Well, let's not dwell on this. I mean, like, it's Cart is such a douche.
Also, what did Cart do that got him 15 years?
As you know, I have the little known stat of chattiness. Chattiness is and his meanness. Fucking stat.
Don't forget about fucking meanness, man. Everybody picked up the stat of meanness.
God, that's the stat I want when I play a game. Fucking God, I hope they roll chattiness for my ass.
Like, how does that even fucking work? You have to click on all the conversation options? That fucking sucks.
Yeah, if anybody here has played, like, Dragon Age or Mass Effect, like, we know, nobody really desperately goes for, give me more of the dialogue options. Yeah, okay, if you do it, I get it. Maybe you're into the game lore, right? But there's no lore in this world. Like, I just don't get it. Nobody in this book is remotely likable.
I'm gonna pop open my fucking codex and read 3 hours on the Pryke Mine and its history.
And that's precisely the first at least 60 pages are him in the Pryke Mine guiding you through a basic understanding of how this world works.
Do you want tutorial the book? Because that's what this is.
Or you've also got lists the book. My next favorite part, he wakes up one day and he goes, let's think. Today I will need 1, to get acquainted with the local customs and people. 2, to determine my capabilities as a shaman. 3, to be certain to achieve the daily quota. 4, optional, try to exceed the daily quota even a little and assess money earning possibilities. I think that's enough for today. Next comes the plan for the week. 1, evaluate the prospects of improving my capabilities and understand how these will develop. 2, find a change for my striped clothing. 3, earn 20 silver coins in order to unlock the jewel craft trade. Then there is the plan for the year. This is simple. 1, survive and don't go crazy. 2, find a precious stone. 3, optional, leave the mine for the main game world. That's a whole fucking page in this book. That's a whole fucking page.
This book's so dumb, man. This book is so fucking dumb.
And there is, okay, I gotta ask you now.
Yeah, please, ask away, man.
Worst part of the book for you. What was the thing you absolutely hated the most outside of him trying to be Mr. Sex Fiend at the beginning and basically force a woman under his command?
It was... And I, again, since you jumped through parts of the book, it was...
I'm really sorry.
90% of the way through the book when he... it takes him halfway through the book at the mine. Let's give a quick breakdown of the book itself. He... half of the book, he's just in the mine mining. And he eventually finds out that he can make jewelry that gives him stat bonuses. So he becomes the most valued... fucking dude at the mine and gets to start his own gang by accident. It's all weird, whatever. So eventually they send him to another mine.
He is not out of the Pryke Mine until page 188.
Is that halfway through the book?
Because chapter one, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 7 of those called the Pryke Mine. Part 4 doesn't end until page 188. And then he goes to the Dolma Mine.
The Dolma Mine.
So until page 258. This is literally more accurate to Minecraft than the book.
Yes. Uh-huh. So he goes to Dolma Mine. Now, Dolma Mine's a little more exciting because he has to party up with people and fight some big rats as opposed to the small rats.
Small rats, yes.
but eventually, they, of course, the fucking game it, bro. So they game it, and they have a quota they've got to reach of a certain jewel. I forget what the fuck it is. Lapis lazuli or magenta. Green one. I think it's green. And it's a green rock.
Emerald.
Something like that. I don't fucking know. Jade, who cares? It's cool.
Yeah, Jade.
Malachite, that's it. Malachite. Yeah. So while they're doing that, they stumble upon a dungeon. He and his party of dudes stumble upon a dungeon. So their last day there, they're like, hey, let's take on this dungeon like a real party. And they go in and the whole dungeon is them doing fucking... puzzle solving. It's not like they have fights, but it's all sort of like puzzle solving. It's insufferable. They go through like 3 bosses, and that is all boring as hell and insufferable. Imagine somebody giving you a let's play on like a specific dungeon in World of Warcraft. And that's what this section of the book is.
And all I can think about is that when we play MMORPGs, at no point does anyone want to be stuck in a mine this long. And all your beginning quests are in fucking mines. Literally the last line of the book, he's saying goodbye to Pryke Mine. Mm-hmm. Like, so, this fucking guy, yeah, this fucking guy, his whole life is this mine. And you know what? I fucking hope he dies there.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't, because you know what? They fucking get through the dungeon because fucking man's the best at figuring everything out, like all these fucking books are, that like you got it. You can't have a guy that fucking fails. No, there's no stakes because you know he's not going to fucking fail at anything. Because
there's no stakes in any, none whatsoever. And that was also the same issue sort of with the land as well, is that we exist. There's these people can't even create semi-problematic like loopholes in the world where you're gonna die. Every there's no danger. This is I don't need death to be the tension.
No, and it's,
but it's
okay.
Also a game, right? This is a game in which death occurs. So how can we make this? There's no tension. How can we make this have more tension, more just narrative fucking pop behind it?
Right, right. And the thing is, like, you could take death in one of these books and make it interesting and also in a manner that is a setback but not breaking the game. Like, because, like, the way both of these books are set up, if your character dies, even though both of them can fucking respawn, if your character dies, that's it. It's over. You're done with. You might as well quit because it's the equivalent of dying anyway. Because in fucking what's Lit RPG Saga Book 1, the land, Alaron Kong land. In that book, if fucking Richter dies, it's possible that he could forget everything. Like, he gets permanent amnesia. So, like, okay, well, why don't we not do that instead? Why don't we make it so that, like, oh, I don't know, it's a little less risky for him, so dying is a setback and a decent setback, but, like, it's not the end of the effing world, so that we can have some tension, and I, as a reader, am not like, well, he's not going to fucking die, because then that's the end of the fucking series.
Well, we can take, too, like, can we take a little bit of a, if we're gonna lean so hard on the Matrix, maybe we take a little bit of inspiration from that, where there, to me, there's always this tension in these worlds, these stories, where you have two shared worlds, where you have like the physical world and the virtual world. I'm always terrified of what's going to happen to the physical body.
Oh, hey, man. Well, let's come back to that then. Let's come back to that, because, okay, you were asked for the part of the book that I fucking hated.
Yeah.
How about the part where after he gets, and that's what I was getting to, after he gets to the mine in the dungeon and they beat the dungeon, they figure out a way to get through the dungeon, which is everybody else dies but him.
Yes.
On purpose. And so he gets through and he's like, oh, here's the portal. This portal must send me back out of the dungeon. Like, all dungeons have the exit portal at the end. But whoa, weird. This dungeon, because nobody's ever cleared this dungeon before, because again, man's the best at fucking everything. It goes into a technical area of the game. And, well, for some reason, when it goes into a technical area of the game, it breaks the pod coffin that he's in and ejects him back into the real world. So he's ejected back into the real world, and we spend a chapter in the real world where they have to take him out of his coffin, put him in a new, you know, put him in a new pod, and nothing happens. There's no consequences, nothing. He just goes back, and the book continues on. It's literally a pointless part of the story, except for one aspect, which is that he finds out that the woman who got him put in jail set up a date with the technician who was putting him into the pod to give him the ability to make his own name. I don't know what kind of fucking mystery you're handing me here, bro, about dream girl who's like, now that you've gone to jail because she set
I'm
you
manipulating
up.
Manipulating it all.
Yeah, why? Because
from beyond.
Because women are fucking evil, because that's what I got to say, because there's no other women characters in the book. So she's clearly going to be either be an antagonist or an unwitting romantic interest, one of the two, and she'll be into him later.
There's, and the ending is too, where it's all, it's also heavily admired with this, these references back to the Matrix. And he wakes up like, I was also covered in wires and I only lacked a plug in my head to complete the resemblance. Also, unlike him, he's talking about Neo, I had normal control of my body. So if this was like in the film, I'd be flushed down a drain where Morpheus and Trinity would pick me up. Like,
okay, then just fucking watch The Matrix. Why am I reading this book?
Why am I reading this fucking... And where's the survival part? Where's the survival quest here?
I don't know. I don't fucking know. I was wondering that the whole time. I'm like, why is this called survival quest?
Where is the survival quest? Survival quest to me sounds pretty intense.
I thought that he was going to be out in the middle of nowhere, that like it was going to be a real naked and afraid type situation.
You know what I'm tired of with these... I'm sorry. I interrupted you. I'm sorry.
It's fine. I don't want to say what I had to say anyway. So
no,
it's cool.
Please say it. Naked and afraid.
I know. It's
afraid.
Just going to be like naked and afraid, where he's just out in the middle of the woods with no stuff, and he's got to start from scratch like a human being lost out in the wild. And that would have been more interesting than this stupid trash in a mine. Minecraft the book.
Why am I – and Minecraft's great. You know
fucking,
what? I'm sure –
it's like I'm, it's like I'm fucking reading a what is that called? Lit MMOs. What is it? What is that thing? That YouTube channel for little fucking babies,
Roblox.
Yeah, basically, there was a Minecraft channel that my stepson used to watch when he was allowed to watch YouTube before he watched somebody talking about Miss Jiggly Tits, and we had to make him not watch YouTube anymore. And it was these.
Oh, is his name Daniel Mayen?
it was like. You know, like, there's those YouTubers out there who just make Let's Play videos for little fucking babies.
Yes.
And that's that's what this goddamn book is.
I would like to see a lit RPG book that completely breaks the presumption that we need a whole fucking MMO world to explore. And you know what I'd like to see? Because now it's right up our ass as video gamers. I'd like to go back to the whole, like, Hunger Games thing. Can we see a fucking game book, a book about a game that just takes place in a battle royale?
And you've only got one shot at it, or do you have so many shots at it? And like the whole thing is that you're stuck in this fucking loop.
Well, like, right. Like, so that's that there's something to that, right? There could be something to that. Or even a side scroller, for fuck's sake. Like, can we have a character who's put into a video game world where it's not an MMO? Oh, wait, that's Tron. Yes. You're right.
We had Tron. We had also Worlds of Power, dude. Like, yeah. Captain N, the Game Master. That was lit RPG before lit RPG existed.
And you know what? It was likable. Simon Belmont was great.
Oh, my God. Simon Belmont was Daniel Mayen.
Remember when Mega Man would see something and he'd be like, Mega,
whoa. Yep.
Captain N had his little controller on his belt.
Yep, and a power glove and a zapper.
So
don't call
weed,
it a gun. Don't call it a light gun. It's a zapper, okay?
My final... I can't speak any more intelligently about this book. Mm. We always get to this point about books and shit that we hate. Is that I'm sorry if you've had to continue on listening to us bitch about this, but maybe what you've gained from this is you've listened to us for an hour bitch about this book and not even like intelligently, knowing that you don't need to read this book. And there are seven other books in this series.
Yes. And so that's a thing we're going to do at the end of our podcast episodes now is final summations on the book. Do you recommend it or not recommend it?
Fuck no, I don't recommend it. I recommend giving me back my Audible credit for this garbage.
Yeah, I agree. Also, I am. Are you literally going to look to see if you can get your Audible credit?
No,
right
I
now?
Can't, and I'm lazy anyway.
I'll do it. I'll fucking go back and look, and I'll give it a 0-star review and say this is the most boring hot turd. Wait, I can't because I'm pretty sure you gifted this one to me for Christmas.
Can you please for me though? Can we talk about a little bit? Can we for a moment talk about the great covers of the other books?
Dude,
on your computer, could you please look up The Secret of the Dark Forest, Way of the Shaman, book number 3? Could
you please? Secret of the Dark Forest? Secret of the Dark Forest. Sorry, my cable is on.
Which is one of the shittiest names.
Way of just, the...
Guys, just wait till this book is 600 pages long, too.
I'm a slow typer. Secret of the Dark Forest, Way of the Shaman.
Just wait till you see the cover.
My internet's also trash tonight, which is really super cool when you're trying to record a podcast.
Just wait till you see the cover.
Hey, the Kindle price is down. It's $16.99. Oh, my fucking God. What is that?
It looks like...
Why is there a vampire guy with the dumb teeth?
A weird, badly photoshopped vampire with dirty teeth and green hair staring straight at you.
Oh, my God. Don't worry about it, though, man. There's ones and zeros running down the screen because we're in the fucking Matrix.
At least Aleron Kong's books have some fucking banging covers to them. They're, like, brutally, brutally action-posy.
No, this is just, these are all just dudes' faces for the most part.
Yeah, they're not good at all. None of them are remotely good.
Oh man, let's see. There's one called The Shaman's Revenge, and it's definitely. Oh, hey man, there is a female shaman on the cover. So I'm gonna guess that maybe she's an orc, possibly, or a troll. But I'm gonna guess that is the young lady that he was trying to get it with.
It might have been. It might have been the one he's trying to get. It's guys. These are not good. None of these are good. Please, please, God, don't read this book.
I hate it, man. Yeah, please. Like if you do anything this year that is to help your fellow man, it would be to not buy this book in any form and throw it out the window. I give it a no, not recommended.
He's got the Alchemist series as well. These guys just we said it last time, but these guys who were I guess self-publishing this at the time just dumped ass out these books. Like, just I'm gonna sit at my computer and shit out hundreds of pages and not just give a remote fuck about what you're reading, but just diarrhea my diapy out these pages. We have read some phenomenally literary stuff so far for this podcast. I'm thinking back to, and I'm really excited to say it because we're going to come back to it later, looking back at all the philosophical quandaries present in Brian Hodge's story for Freddy's seven sweetest dreams or nightmares. I can't remember the name of the collection.
Freddy's
dangerous.
Freddy gives you a little kiss and he's scary bad boy.
Freddy's bagels.
Freddy's
bait bagels. I don't know. You know, Brian Hodge clearly put care into crafting those words.
Yeah.
The Premi Muhammad, you know, she was putting care into crafting these words, putting in underlying ideas that are not only are a little difficult to access, they're intentionally difficult to access. We need to think about these books. There's nothing in The Land or Way of the Shaman or whatever the hell this is that require anything but the most base level human functioning of I think, I eat, I shit, words make story and brain. It's so bad. It's fucking bad.
It's
like, and if there's anybody out there who wants to defend this garbage, fucking bring it because it's bad. Vasily Mahanyenko, I'm
Ransel
not even
fight you. Ransel, I'm not even gonna.
No, you know what? I'm all for Larry Correa. I'll fight that guy. Vasily Mahanyenko, he's gonna have to. He's gonna come over here, and you know what? It's not good stuff. I'm not even gonna put my fists up for this shit. With Larry Correa, there was at least a history of, like, I enjoyed Larry Correa's stories before I understood what a piece of garbage he was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
These books are just pieces of garbage.
No, there's, man. Okay, so when you took over programming for this season, I was really excited because we spent the first season of this show reading
some tripe,
like 25 episodes worth of hot garbage and one decent story. Some passable shit, but mostly our two favorite fucking books were a short story from a Freddy Krueger collection and a fucking baby's book. A little full fucking baby's Warhammer book.
And you know what? It was great.
And now I was like, okay, Rance is picking the next season and he really wants to get our brains flowing. We're going to read some good shit. And so far we've read Premi Mohammed's book, which was great. Her new book just came out and I'm, you know, going to read that. And then we've read H.P. Lovecraft, which was some hot racist horse shit. And then we read Lit RPG, The Foundling, Chaos Dongle, Book 1.
We started with Dreadnought, which is a really good exploration of
Dreadnought. I'm sorry, April Daniels.
Superhero and also, yeah. Like, and also it's...
Oh, but then we read fucking Jim Butcher. That fucking hot horse shit.
But you know
come
what?
On, man.
That's okay, too. We expected it to be a little hot horse shit, and it was some hot horse shit.
But I'm really getting
I'm sorry.
Tired of finishing these books and you just fucking jumping out on me.
I can't, man. No, I can't. Like, I need to start telling you I can't. Like, I'm hitting this wall where I just cannot. But did I miss anything?
No, that's the best part of it. I think that makes me so goddamn mad is that I sat through the whole book going, I'm going to do this for our listeners. I'm going to do this for me and I'm going
to
do this for Rance.
To even
and
talk
then you're
about
like,
shit,
I skipped a whole bunch of shit, bro. Like, you fucking won a Nobel Prize because you skipped all that shit. And I'm sitting over here going, well, one of us has to know what the whole book is like experiencing. Why am I the torture pig here?
Well, Trent Reznor would be very happy with you right now. He would be so happy with you right now.
Just, but yeah, seriously. It's like listening to the downward spiral on repeat as a teenager.
Let's look, though, at what we have coming up, because I do think there's some stuff coming up that's actually really, really good. We are almost halfway through our year, which is pretty mind-blowing to me. We're jumping into April, mm-hmm. which is all about timelines.
We Dune for a whole month, so that was okay
we did.
Too.
No, that was great too, and I would probably be willing to go back to that. I need to watch the movie too. Is it out on HBO Max? Who knows?
Nah, it's still got a few months. I think
we're gonna be reading. So in April, we're reading books about like time alteration.
Yeah.
Subtitled Time and Reality and Definitely Regretting That Thing You Did 6 Years Ago. So we're starting with The Immaculate Void by Brian Hodge, which I promise you I'm going to read the whole thing. Why? Because I like Brian Hodge. And I know obviously that what I'm going to be getting is going to be a book that has care put into it. And yeah. Excitingly enough, on April 12th, we're going to be having Brian Hodge on the show with us.
That's so cool.
It's great. He's been phenomenally kind in his emails. I'm looking really forward to that. I think you had reached out to Brian Hodge, who is really well known for a lot of his horror stories. He is prominently published in a number of anthologies. He's got plenty of books out as well. And he's a pretty big name in horror lit in general. I keep saying, you had reached out to him the previous time that we read one of his stories. He was so kind to respond back to us. And he was like, you know what, guys, I'm in Colorado. It's pretty far away from where you are. Probably won't be able to get on there, but maybe another time. And I'm really happy to say that he is going to join us on April 12th. Mm-hmm. To talk about The Immaculate Void, which has been out for a few years. He's got another book coming out soon, which I'm sure he'll talk about on the podcast.
Also, but, Brian, thank you for making this book an acceptable length. that isn't 11 hours that I got to fucking sit through. So even, Brian, even if this book takes a fat shit, which I won't tell you what it is, because I'm a goddamn coward, and you'll come on this show and I'll be like, no, this is the greatest thing I ever read. And I'll secretly, so like, audience, just so you know, even next week, even if I recommend that book,
I'm going to be kissing Brian on his cheek.
I'm kissing Brian's ass because it's called networking, okay? And, at least it's 6 hours and I won't have to suffer through 11 hours.
But here's the other thing too, is that if it's a bad book, I'm not going to ask that person on the podcast because you're right. I am a little bit of a coward. So Vasily Monyenko, if you're out there, he's never going to hear this anyway.
I know. That's why I'm totally confident talking about shit about him.
But it's also a bad fucking book.
No, it is.
And then after that, after Brian Hodgson, we're going to be having Recursion by Blake Crouch. Recursion. Now, I did not know this. I've been surrounded by a ton of people who've read Recursion before. Did not know that when I picked it. And I have heard phenomenal things about it.
Okay.
So cool. I'm looking forward to it being either really good or complete garbage, because we saw that Survival Quest had almost 5 stars for its reviews. And the first review says that the main character is unjustly imprisoned.
Didn't we just finish the story with the main character that some people would say is unjustly imprisoned?
You fucking
man, what are you doing to me, bro?
You just don't even care.
You know what, man?
Buddy.
I'm Bob.
I'm Rance.
This has been the Quarantine Book Club. We'll join you next week with Brian Hodges.
In two weeks.
Sorry. Also, this episode's coming out probably a day late because I'm not editing it tonight.
You don't have the energy to edit. That's fine. It's fine. It's fine. Mm-hmm. Buddy, good job. I'm really proud of you. I'd like to actually dedicate something to you.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. Is it some Skittles? You send me some hot Skittles?
No, I just want to really talk to you for a minute about your dedication to our podcast. You edit all the episodes. You stay up late till about 10:30 p.m. and you put them together. I send you the files and you mash them together like turds down a shower drain. And you also read every part of every book. Which the past two books, because apparently I'm allergic to lit RPG, I didn't really manage to successfully get all the way through entirely. So I just want to say I love you and that I appreciate everything you've done. But can we fucking please, dear God, never read any lit RPG ever again? I'm sorry I did that to you, and I'm sorry that I bailed on you, and I love you, and I want you to know that I've always got your best interests in mind.
Man, I appreciate that a lot. And that's what brothers do sometimes, man. They got to pick up the slack for each other. They got to prove that they're the brother that their parents would be the most proud of. Mm-hmm. When the other brother's clearly a failure and can suck on a frozen turd.
Right. Me.
And I want you to know that you're a shit brother.
Thanks, man.
And I can't... I mean, if I wasn't like 30 episodes invested into this podcast, I might walk away and never talk to you again because of how hard you dropped the ball. But I'm not going to do that because
were you saying something?
I'm invested in you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm invested in our fans, all 5 of them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm invested in meeting hotshot authors who are going to tell me about their books.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in this for the chicks. Okay. I'm in this for the money. Okay. I'm in this all the way till the end, bro. And you and I are going to hold hands and drive off a cliff like Thelma and Louise one day in a car painted yellow with a big yellow or big black biohazard symbol on the front that just says Quarantine Book Club in Doom font on it. And we're going to just drive off that cliff, and I'm going to scream, anchors away, and then we'll kiss.
I'm sorry, could you repeat all that? Because I think it was somewhere around Nobel Prize that I checked the fuck out.
You're the Nobel Prize of motherfuckers. And finally, if you'd like to check out our podcast, you can find us basically anywhere that you find great podcasts. Our website is www.thequarantinebookclub.com. Don't forget to add the. You know all the reasons if you're a fan of the show. If you're not, don't worry about it. Just add the fucking the. Don't bother with Google search because I haven't even figured out how to fucking get it to show up on Google. You can check us out on Twitter. I'm at SpaceFunkyBob, and he is at ViolenceObscene, and our Twitter account is at the QBC Podcast. Am I correct on that?
Yep, that's it. That's
awesome.
It.
Awesome. Our Instagram is at the Quarantine Book Club Podcast. Our Facebook is at the Quarantine Book Club. That's about all of it. Cool, man.
I'd like to make a quick shout out at the very end here. I'm so very sorry that I didn't do this earlier. And it means that somebody's not going to see it. We recently had the pleasure of being shouted out on Kendall Reviews. They took the time to feature us as one of their favorite podcasts of the week. Some of the more previous episodes. Mm-hmm. So really thank you for that. Check them out, KendallReviews.com. They're also on Twitter as well. They're great horror podcasts, reviewing. Mm-hmm. So they listen to a ton of podcasts, sort of do a week in review. It was really cool. It was really unexpected, and it was a nice little bump. It's a nice reminder to know that people are out there listening and that there is some sense of recognition out there. Yeah. We don't put a lot of time into the Quarantine Book Club, and I'm saying that with respect to what we do. We read the books, and then we just talk about them. You read the books, and maybe you think about them, or maybe you read half the books the way that I do. Because truth be told, we're not here to really deeply impress anybody. We're just here to bullshit and have a great time.
Also, I am busting your ass about the books, bro, but I have to say, this is to you and this is to anyone that would be reading along. Don't suffer through something that you can't stand. Don't do it to yourself. We live in a world where there's too little joy, too few times. There's a part of me that's a masochist and enjoys reading these crappy books, so I'm okay with it. There's a certain joy that I get in doing the podcast, and so I'm willing to get all the way through that book so I can have a conversation about it. If I hate it so much that I gotta stop, I will.
You got two of those on you this year. You got two of those on you,
and it's fine, man. I don't want our listeners to ever think that I'm gonna come to their house and fucking yell in their mom's face that their baby boy or baby girl didn't read the fucking book that I assigned
them.
Did
you do your fucking homework, homework, you little fucking asshole.
Did you not read those fucking pages? What'd you do to yourself that you didn't read that fucking book?
Did the dog eat your book, huh? Did you spend too much time on your virtual learning? Are you a little mask-wearing fucking baby, huh? Because let me tell you, I'm a mask. No, I don't believe in masks. I'm a COVID denier.
But I'm going to double mask anyway. Because that's the. If you. Let me really quick. Okay, give me a second. Let's restart this rage moment. So if you're going to wear masks out there, you got. I can't think of what I'm going to yell about.
Just don't. Let's call this a night.
Peace out. I'm Rance.
I'm Bob. This is the Quarantine Book Club. Stay safe, do the work, and be kind to each other.
And don't read fucking Survival Quip.
That's the kisses for you. Bye.
Bye.